And now, Jalen and Jacoby.
He is Jalen Anthony
Wright. Up. Dope.
I'm David Jacoby.
And on the cool check-in.
Together with Jalen and Jacoby, what is it that we do?
10 volleyball games in 3 days. Cheering for my daughter Gracie to go to the Nationals. Horse, voice, and all. We get it, people! What they want.
Jalen, I have very important news for our podcast exclusive. We now have a presenting sponsor. Goodyear Tires is today's podcast exclusive edition of Jalen and Jacoby presenting sponsor. It is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. Love Goodyear Tires. Big shout out to everybody at Goodyear for being the presenting sponsor of this podcast. Now, Jalen, you know what? We have the podcast exclusive, so we take people behind the curtain on how we do things. And before we get to what the Pats have done in free agency, to what Colin Sexton just did to get socially awkward on the internet, and the Heat and Jimmy Butler, we have to start with the most important sports action from the weekend, which is in Orlando at Gracie Rose's volleyball tournament. We were on the conference call Monday morning, and my wife would go, who are you doing the show with today? And I was like, Jalen. She said, well, who's that talking? I was like, that's Jalen. She's like, no, it's not. Jalen, how enthusiastic are you as a volleyball dad watching Gracie and them make national?
I'm extremely happy. Big shout to Team A5, who did a terrific job of qualifying for the Nationals. We're going to Vegas in July. I'm really excited for Gracie. She's 15. They've done an amazing job of making it to the Nationals the last couple of years in Dallas, Indianapolis, and Detroit, and making it to the Final Four each time. Just like the Michigan Wolverines, we're trying to spike down the nets this year. And so I'm really excited. And I'm really proud for her and the team, and we're about to make it happen.
Congratulations to Gracie and the rest of the A5. Jalen, I want to start with the NBA, and I want to start with a team that's red hot and no one's talking about. Won 10 of 11 games. When Jimmy Butler returned from COVID, the Heat were 6-12, 22nd in defensive rating. Since then, they've gone 15-6 with the second best defense. Fourth in the East on a tear. Jimmy Butler's averaging 23 points per game, 8 rebounds, 9 assists per game, 2 steals per game since he came back from COVID. Jalen, I have to confess, I thought perhaps their success last season was a great matchup with the Bucks.
Oh!
A little fluky Celtics thing. I was like, maybe this might be bubble related. Like, maybe this is just, maybe they're built for the bubble and a team that the Clippers aren't. And maybe they're not going to repeat the success this year. But they have. Since Jimmy's back, are they a legit contender to represent the East in the finals for a second straight year?
I'm going to give you a one-word answer. Absolutely. No. Absolutely. Here's what I want everybody to realize. The Brooklyn Nets are my favorite, except Kevin Durant hasn't played basketball in a really long time for them. And he also missed last season with an Achilles injury, and due to the pandemic, got more recovery time and days than anybody in the history of the league from when they got injured until they played their next game after an Achilles injury. And for him now to miss so many games before the All-Star break, didn't play in the first game after the All-Star break, that has to be a red flag for me. So if I'm a betting man, I would take the field. And the Miami Heat are a part of that field with the Milwaukee Bucks in particular. And I want to just say another team's name into the atmosphere. Yes, Philly with Embiid, they're also in contention. But remember I told you this. Like Miami when they were 6-12, I said Miami and Indiana. Caris LeVert.
Back.
Caris LeVert. He's back. And I know it's not a sexy topic, and I know they just lost the other day really bad. And Sabonis wanted to come out of the game because they only scored 6 points in the fourth quarter or whatever. They gonna get it together. Miami and Indiana are gonna do two things that I can rely on. Defend and play together. I know that that's gonna happen. And so those are the things that the Nets are so talented, they don't really have to do all of the time.
No. No.
And usually one of the worst teams in the NBA don't win the championship, especially without Kevin Durant.
Yes. I'm with you until you started grouping in the Pacers with the rest of those teams. If you talk to me about the teams I could see in the NBA Finals in the Eastern Conference, in order, Nets, Sixers, Bucks, Celtics,
Heat. No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. You still sleeping on Miami is what I hear.
I know. I said Heat at the end.
I know. That's too far. That's my whole point.
Celtics. I can see him being put in front of the Celtics. I think that's
fair. Yes, definitely. But I don't say Indiana's going to win the East. I say Indiana has the kind of style and the togetherness that is going to make sure that they put pressure on these higher seeds that we anticipate are going to advance. Philly comes to mind, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana's a really good matchup for Philadelphia. Really good matchup.
I agree with what you're saying, because I think you're saying is what you might think would be a 5-game series ends up being a 7-game series where the Pacers don't win, but you know they make a team who has championship expectations really, really work to get out of the first or second round.
Correct. And if you slip up or there's an injury or one of your best players play bad, that's when you lose the series.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I keep bringing that up. Indiana and Miami. Nobody's going to talk about them in the East. But they're going to be a problem when the playoffs come.
It's hard not to talk about the Heat right now. I mean, 10 of 11. They're playing great. They're getting contributions from everybody. Like, low-key Tyler Hero had a really slow start to the year, but he's starting to put it together. Projects has some really big games. There's also something else that happened with the Heat that I wanted to talk to you about, Jalen, because we're all doing these Zoom press conferences now after the game, and you know the vibes. And here's when a reporter asked Jimmy Butler a question with a word that was not in his vocabulary. Let's listen to it.
Does the team, obviously you've won 10 of 11, so the standings tell us one thing, but does it feel like you're coalescing as much as the record shows into something? I mean, 10 of 11, pretty special.
Don't do that. Come on now.
Coming together.
What the hell does that mean?
I mean, you won 10 of 11, so you're obviously showing how good you can be, I would think.
Well, you said a big word. You confused me.
Oh, coalesce. That means coming together, congealing, gelling.
Could have just said that.
I love how he tried. He said, oh, coalescing. It means congealing. Like, that's not healthy, sir. What do you think about Jimmy Butler's response to how the team is coalescing?
It was real spiel, and I appreciate that. And both of those people were staying true to their identities. The interviewer clearly used that word as a part of his vocabulary and was on top of what he was saying. And Jimmy Butler was like, that's not a word that I use in my vocabulary, and I don't know what it means, so I can't really answer a question about a word that I don't know what it means. So I ain't mad at that at all.
No, me neither. And we always talk about the Heat winning 10-11. We'd be remiss if we didn't discuss another team that we've breezed over in this conversation about the Eastern Conference. Seems like we've breezed over this team, and I'm guilty of this, all season long. That's the Milwaukee Bucks. They've won 9 of 10. Giannis has 3 straight triple-doubles. The defense is starting to come together, which has been a problem for them earlier this season. What do you think about the Bucks' run of late?
I think that I got to be the defender of the Giannis Antetokounmpo David versus Goliath argument. And what I see happening now, because he's the most dominant big man in the NBA, people now take his ability for granted because he's not shooting 8 threes a game. I see beauty in watching tall people with skill. That's my favorite thing in basketball to watch. It truly amazes me to watch taller human beings dribble, pass, and shoot. It really looks so good to me. And especially when that guy can guard five positions defensively, literally. So, like, I love LeBron, right? And when he was in Cleveland, people be like, LeBron guard five positions. No, he didn't. No, he didn't. He ain't guarding no real center because he'll get punished. He's just too small. It's a tall man's game. He ain't guarding Embiid. He gets stuck on Embiid, it's a bucket and one. He ain't guarding no five. Giannis guards five positions. He could be guarding Dame Lillard. He could be guarding Anthony Davis. He could be guarding Embiid. Extreme value. Also, the play isn't over until somebody gets the rebound. And if he gonna get me 15 rebounds, that's 15 less, that's six or seven less outlet passes I have to throw. Which means that's the first pass to a fast break. The other thing, I can initiate my offense through him at the top. I can initiate my offense through him at the elbow. I can initiate my offense through him on the wing. Giannis, for me, needs to be in the conversation right now as people start talking about MVP favorites, because when I got the remote control in my hand, I haven't seen two or three people have complete seasons like him at this point of the year. What do you think about that?
I think that's important. I think that people have Giannis fatigue, two straight MVPs, putting up similar numbers. And we all know what happens in the playoffs. And I think that, like, everyone's just sort of a little fatigued of Giannis's dominance. And it does need to be appreciated and respected. And about this Bucks team, like I said, their defense, they went from like the number one defense in the league last year to like 17 or 15 or something this year. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that their major free agent acquisition missed 10 games. Their major free agent acquisition missed 10 games. Jrue Holiday does so much for a basketball team between running the offense, which takes Giannis off the ball, which we've discussed, makes him more valuable, to guarding the opponent's best wing or point guard player. He's a great defender. And I think Jrue Holiday, the reason they went out and got him is because of the impact that he's had, not just in the last week, but he'll continue to have for the rest of the season. I think that's going to be key for them. And they've turned into a team that went from the number one best record in the league. Everyone's gunning for him. Everyone's got him, penciled him into the finals, to a team that is now a sleeper. Not because of anything that they did on the basketball court, but really just as human beings in our minds have put them there because of their they've come up short in the playoffs in the past few years.
Agree. And again, while we're going to elevate other teams, what ended up happening to the Bucks is they were a victim of their regular season success. And then one of those years, you can't let Toronto and Miami win the East. You can't let that happen.
Mm-hmm.
But it did happen. And Giannis is still in his 20s. And he did resign. And he is dominant. He did win All-Star MVP. He did have a couple of triple-doubles in a row. And if you're talking about building a team, and we had this argument on our production call today, Jacoby, and the argument I couldn't believe that I was having was, if I was starting a team, would I take James Harden or Giannis? Who would you take?
Giannis.
I believe that as well.
Can't go wrong, but I would take Giannis for sure. And I love the basketball that James Harden's been playing for the
Me too.
I love looking at the Nets and just being like, Kyrie's got 30-something, James has got 20-something, and like 12 boards and 12 assists. You can just pencil him in for that. Like, KD, if it was the playoffs, I'm not a doctor, I don't know how KD feels, but someone tells me if it was the playoffs, KD could play. I feel like KD could play. I haven't heard anything that suggests that there's any sort of tear or any sort of rehabilitation or reevaluated in 3 weeks. It feels like KD's working himself back, but every day he shows up to Barclays and he watches James Harden get 25, 15, and 15, and Kyrie get 35, and they've won every game except for one of their last 14. I love the Nets. But I would take Giannis, not just because of the age, because of what he does. You can't replace what he does on a basketball court the same way you can with James Harden. And both of them are extremely unique and efficient and, you know, unlike any other offensive weapons we've seen in the history of the league, not to take one away from the other, but I just feel like Giannis has that unicorn-y, literally Greek freak body make, body type, and that you just can't replicate or replace with, you know, four quarters for a dollar. Jalen, before we move on, two things I want to mention. First, ESPN's Tournament Challenge. It's time to fill out a bracket. If there were a bracket of my favorite sports traditions, filling out a bracket of brackets would be the champion of that bracket brackets. I love taking on my friends and family in the ESPN Tournament Challenge and beating every single one of them. Sign up now for ESPN Tournament Challenge at ESPN.com/bracket. And this year, you can boost your bracket with ESPN Plus. Use the bracket predictor to analyze each matchup, get recommended picks one game at a time, and import your picks directly into ESPN's Tournament Challenge. Sign up now at ESPNplus.com. And check out ESPN's College Hoops podcast, Courtside, with Greenberg and Dockage. This week, Seth Greenberg and Dan Dockage are breaking down every region of the bracket and sharing their picks for the first weekend of the NCAA tournament action. You can listen to Courtside with Greenberg and Dockage wherever you get your podcasts. I've got good news, Jalen.
What's that?
Dame Lillard gets overlooked a lot of the time because he plays in Portland and it's late games and the East Coast, and the Lakers take up a lot of attention, and the Clippers and the Mavs take a lot of attention. But he's got CJ McCollum back. It has been announced that this evening against the Pelicans, CJ McCollum will return to the Portland Trailblazers. Jalen, what does that mean for a team that's going to find itself not hosting a first round playoff game?
One of my favorite people and players, and they're the second best backcourt in the league behind the Splash Brothers. Mm-hmm. And that's a notable statement in the league of guards who lead their team in shot attempts and or assists as the primary ball handlers, because he doesn't. Dame does. Yet he still averages 27 this year when he's healthy. And the thing that he did is he just shot more threes. He and his trainer decided that he had to work on his stamina so that those long range threes could be going late in the game, because he gets a lot of his shots off the dribble and he did a lot of his shooting mid range. And so it's one thing to dribble the ball 8 or 9 times and shoot it from 15 to 18 feet than it is to shoot it from 22 to 25 feet. And so now that his footwork has mastered that, he's gonna be a prolific scorer, and they're gonna be a dynamic team, and it puts everybody back in their normal spots.
Yep.
You know, reserves can be that, backup guards can be that, and they're gonna be one of those teams like we talked about in the East that, when healthy, are gonna be challenging those higher seeds.
And the last time he played was January 16th, which seems like forever ago. But just to remind you how well he was playing up to that point, he was scoring almost 27 points a game, 4 rebounds and 5 assists a game. He was really having one of the best seasons of his career, if not the best season of his career, before he has been out. And I just think it's huge for the Trailblazers to get him back, because the Trailblazers have always had injury problems, and they did not stop this season. Jalen, I want to talk to you about Colin Sexton for a second, something that's happening in Cleveland. We always talk about buyouts. Is Drummond going to get bought out? Is Kevin Love going to get traded? What are they going to do? Well, Colin Sexton, part of the Sexland backcourt.
Sexland!
There was a tweet that said something like, Kevin Love stole $120 million from the Cavs, biggest heist in sports history, something like that. What did Colin Sexton do? He liked it. Jalen, if I noticed, I'm sure Kevin Love noticed. You think he's trying to be funny? You think he's trying to make a point? You think they discuss it? What do you think happens with this socially awkward situation in Cleveland?
I think he's a young player that wants to win, and he's as frustrated as me when veteran players like James Harden and Blake Griffin and Kevin Love, if healthy, aren't playing the way that I believe that they're capable, because they're playing like they want to get bought out or traded.
Mm.
That's what I think. I saw Blake Griffin do an interview with our sister Malika and said he's going to be back dunking. So for a Pistons fan, how do you think that sounds? I see James Harden putting up work with the Nets, but when he was with Houston, he wasn't in training camp on time and he wasn't doing it like he was doing it the last 8 years. And so that's the frustration of Colin as the Cavs' best player, is because he sees Kevin Love in practice. He knows he's working out. See, that's the other thing people sleep on. When Andre Drummond isn't playing, he's still practicing and working out. So Colin Sexton showing up in practice, like, wait a minute, hold on. Andre Drummond ain't playing, Kevin Love ain't playing, and we might trade JaVale McGee. Like, this can't be life. So that's when you start liking stuff on social media.
Do you think him and Kevin Love discuss it?
Yeah, they discuss it afterwards. But I don't necessarily go by what people say. I go by what they do. And as we had this conversation, he didn't unlike it.
No. No. All right, Jalen, we talked about the spending spree that Bill Belichick has been on. I love Bill Belichick reinventing himself this late in age. You know what I mean? Good for him. Judon, Jonnu Smith, Wise Jr., Aguilar, Mills, Bourne, Anderson, Hunter Henry, just bolstering everything around it, right? But I was thinking, this is like, let's say you got a boat. There's a big hole in the boat. Seems like he's fixing every other hole in the boat except for the quarterback position, because I don't think Cam Newton is the long-term solution. What do you think the strategy is for the quarterback position?
To see if Cam can play what I'm calling like a ground control type offense, similar to what we see with Lamar Jackson without the explosive plays, because clearly he's up there in age and he's a lot bigger and he's taking a lot more hits. But almost the way the Denver Broncos won with Tim Tebow, mm-hmm, for those 8 games. And you notice they signed a couple of tight ends. Now they have Aguilar who can go deep. And that's what they were doing the first 2 or 3 games of the year last year. They were winning with taking time off of the clock, ball possession. And you're going to need to do that against Patty Mahomes. And always remember, they didn't score a touchdown in the Super Bowl. So if you do have a stout defense, like the Bucs had an amazing game plan by Todd Bowles and execution by Shaq Barrett and all of those boys, like, I see what Bill Belichick is trying to do as a former defensive coordinator. That's how he made his bones. He needed to tighten up that defense. What you're saying about quarterback, still got flexibility. If Cam's the guy, you let him rock. If he's not the guy, you got the blank check. Go find you somebody or wait. But you can't go wrong at that position. You got to take your time and guess right, especially because we're going to be all looking. Everybody's going to be looking to see who he, quote unquote, replaces Tom Brady with. Cam Newton isn't viewed as that guy yet. The next person is.
Well, Jalen, I've got some Lions news, which is, doesn't seem like big news, but it's, to me, it has big implications. So the Lions obviously have Jared Goff. We all know about that. But what they did, they released Chase Daniel. Now, why would you release your backup quarterback? Backup quarterback's an extremely important position on a football team. I believe they're going to draft a quarterback. I think they're definitely going to draft a quarterback. Maybe not with their first pick, but they're going to walk away from this draft with an understudy for Jared Goff. What do you think about that strategy?
I think that's basic 101 that the Lions normally doesn't exercise as a team. They drafted running backs in 2 of the last 4 drafts, and then Adrian Peterson came and had as many carries as both of them this year. when there was a quarterback happy draft last year, and I said we should go for a quarterback. We took a defensive back. So now, under a new regime, you have Jared Goff with 2 years left on his deal. That's your trial. You like him, he shows that he can be the guy. You run it, you ride it out with him. He has shown that he could be a productive quarterback under center, and he did make it to the Super Bowl. But if he's not the guy, then you draft your person that's next and you get an understudy. Just like the Packers did with Jordan Love. This ideology that quarterback ego is so fragile that you can't draft their backup is so stupid, because every team got a backup quarterback anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited to see the Lions next season. There is a little glimmer of hope. There's a new coach, new quarterback. There'll be some new draft picks. There'll be a little glimmer of hope. They'll start like 2-1. You know what I mean? You'll be roaring on Monday morning on the show. It's going to be great. It's going to be great to see. Really quickly, Bud Dupree signed with the Titans. Good for them. He was good for the Steelers. Injury, but he should be back. Von Miller got $18 million option picked up by the team, which to me doesn't have too many implications on this season, but potentially next season he could be a free agent and maybe move. Hopefully he gets back from injury as well. But Jalen, the question I want you to chime in on as we wrap up the latest in the NFL free agency news is, what is happening with Russell Wilson? What's happening?
Russell Wilson, maximum, is playing one more year in Seattle.
Wow.
That's what's happening. Maximum, one more season. He's Cade Cunningham. At the most, he's one and done. He's off. And you know what else? He likes Chicago, Jacoby. He liked the
There's a lot of rumors swirling around the Windy City.
He's a David Jacoby mental disciple. And he wants somewhere where the expectation at quarterback has been so bad that they're the only team that never has had a 4,000-yard passer. The only team. I'm a Lions fan. I saw this happen. They were about running game. They were about defense. They wasn't about airing it out. And they play outside. And in Chicago, it get cold and clearly windy. So for Russell, he's looking at it to win games, but also for branding and marketing. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens, but something is going to happen. And don't be surprised if it happens soon. But I told you, it's going to be one and done if it don't happen this year. If it don't happen soon.
Interesting, Mr. Rose. There's one thing you always say, that winning is the best deodorant. And let's not forget, they lost to a Rams team at home that started Wolford. And then your current quarterback, Goff, came and won. Goff, and they couldn't really move the ball. Like, that left a bad taste in their mouth. So if you say that he plays this year and it'll be his last year, depends on how successful they are. They could be successful. So we'll see about that. Now, Jalen, we have to get some voicemails. Before I do that, we have to do some quick Grammy updates. Number one, Jalen, we congratulate Nas, one of the best to ever do it. Nasir Jones won a Grammy. I believe his first Grammy, nominated about 13, 15 times. However, Mr. Rose, was this a Lifetime Achievement Grammy? Was this a Grammy for time served? Because the album, to me, wasn't the best one of the year.
Which album do you think should have won it in that category?
Alfredo, Freddie Gibbs, and The Alchemist.
I ain't mad at that. And by the way, all of those guys, huge Jalen and Jacoby fans, friends of the show. Shout to my guy Royce, who was also nominated. Royce the 5'9 was also nominated. I know why you saying what you said about time served, because Nas got you spoiled. He got you spoiled, dog. It's like Giannis. Giannis can have 40, 25, and 20 tonight. And you're gonna be like, well, what's gonna happen in the playoffs?
That's exactly what I'm gonna do.
See, that's what I'm saying. So Nas done put out so much classic material and been such a seasoned vet. It was great to see him get rewarded. And I'm more of a fan of the album than you are. But I understand why you're saying what you said, because you're a huge Nas fan, obviously.
Huge Nas fan. Congratulations to him. I think there was every year, this seems to be, whether it's the Super Bowl last year with Jennifer Lopez and Shakira, and now it's Megan and Cardi B. And every year it's like, well, we're being too sexy on television. This is music and entertainment. This is going to be part of it. So I don't want to hear anything about Megan and Cardi B's performance. It was fine. It was absolutely fine. I like Lil Baby's performance as well. What do you take away from the Grammys?
I was watching it with my kids, and so it's always interesting to get different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
So Ladarius is 29, and he's a professional. Call him DEO. He's into Bitcoin and crypto, and he's crushing it. My daughter Mariah is a junior at Georgia. She's into sports broadcasting and entertainment and knows what's cool and knows what's fly. And my youngest daughter, Grace, she's 15. We were there for her volleyball tournament, and she's the best athlete and champion in the family already. And so watching it with them gives me a different perspective also, because it's so many different age groups and opinions. And one thing that we all had in common, we love the fact that the Grammys accepted Meg Thee Stallion and Cardi B and allowed them to do that. The same with Lil Baby. I appreciated that. Same with my brother John Legend, who saw me on J&J and came with the roll bone problem. My God. Like, I appreciated the Grammys letting off the restraints that seems to be a disconnect between the urban community and the hip hop culture. And so it was really refreshing to see, and also watching it with my daughters, to see strong, unapologetic Black women do their thing, like Beyonce and Jay, to inspire. So it was a great thing for us to watch. I enjoyed it a lot, and it was fun.
Quick Griselda update. Conway didn't announce but teased a potential Benny the Butcher Conway duo mixtape or album.
Ooh. Ooh.
Keep an eye out for that. Ooh. You know, we love Griselda over here, Jalen and Jacoby. And finally, we say we give the people what they want. Part of giving the people what they want is listening to the people. So right now, call 985-80-JALEN. Push pause on the podcast. Rate and review the podcast, Spotify, Apple Pods, wherever you listen to it, ESPN app. Rate and review us, and then call 985-80-JALEN. Leave us a question, and we'll put it on the show just like this.
Jalen, what up? Jacoby, what up? Shout out, Reg. I got two suggestions for the verse battle. I want to know both of y'all opinions. How about Ice Cube versus Scarface and Mystical versus Busta Rhymes?
All right, Pete. Wow.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate the love. I love the Ice Cube versus Scarface one. But Ice Cube also is a film producer and a movie star and an actor. And I think based on his longevity and not only music, but in producing, that the audience will have him win in a landslide, because they would underestimate how dope Scarface is and has been, and how much he changed the game as Mr. Scarface, and The Diary and Ghetto Boys and so many classic projects. The second comparison, Busta Rhymes need a better competitor. Busta Rhymes need Missy Elliott.
Yeah.
That's who I think. He needs somebody with longevity. The one thing, Mystical had hits, but he got himself into some trouble, and he didn't have the longevity. So that's what I feel about those two comparisons.
Yeah, I feel like Busta Rhymes was in Leaders of the New School. Mystical wasn't even born yet. You know what I mean? Like, Busta Rhymes' career, I remember being in junior high listening to Busta Rhymes, and I'm old. So I feel like Mystical, I see what you're doing, caller. You're matching energies. You know what I mean? You're matching Mystical's energy with Busta Rhymes' energy, but the catalogs they just don't stack up next to each other. I think Ice Cube and Scarface, I just echo what you feel, is both extremely influential and important figures in the evolution of hip hop. However, I think the perception is such that Ice Cube is an untouchable Mount Rushmore god, and Scarface is sort of like a niche artist for Region, which is a misconception, but it is the perception if you're generalizing. I really appreciate those. There's nothing Jalen Rose loves more than versus battle. You know, I want to know, can you take us behind the curtain, Jay? Like, are you actually pulling strings? Is there a text thread? Like, are we, you know, are you just talking into this microphone about it? Or are you in the ears of Swiss and Timberland?
Well, it's a little bit of both, because they actually watched the show too. And remember, this is on ESPN, audio and TV. So when people see this, whether it's them directly or people in their camps, they respond. They know what's being said. And so a couple of those verses that we even asked them about on the shows were ones that I tried to help feed. Now, it doesn't mean that they didn't hear it from other people, and I ain't gonna act like, oh, because I said something, it happened. You heard Timberland when I said it. You heard what he said. Like, yeah. You heard Swiss when he came on the show. Like, tell him, Swiss. He was like, yeah. So that's love, and I appreciate that.
I appreciate the call, as always. You can leave us a voicemail at 985-80. Jalen will put it on the show just like this.
Shout out, Reggie. Hey, Jalen. Hey, Jacoby. I have a question about ankles. Twisting my ankles a lot of times. I've had a lot of problems. What are some stability exercises? What is the rehab you can do, Jalen Rose, that you saw in basketball? Thanks. I need to be able to walk.
Jalen, this man needs ankle help.
Thank you for the call. We appreciate the love. Don't hesitate to reach out and kick it with us about anything. You have to elongate the ankle and not allow it to get stiff. And it's going to be at different points. So right now, you're not at the jump rope stage because it's still tender and sore. But you can still sit down and do the foot to the rope motion to help your range of motion. You can get a little step up, almost like the size of a curb on a city street, and step up and do that. You definitely got to ice no longer than 20 minutes on or 20 minutes off. If you keep ice on for longer than 20 minutes, you could get nerve damage. So everything for you is like range of motion, front to back, side to side, 360, rinse and repeat. Ice as many times as you can a day. If you got access to a weight room, go to the machine where it has the little toe ups and see if you can do it. See if your ankle's too sore. Or do you have access to a hot tub? Do you have access to one of those whirlpools? You run in it, you jog in it, you jump in it. Those are all of the things that'll help heal your ankle. And then the other thing is just time. It's just time. I know we see people twist their ankles, but they vary in degree. So when Isaiah's playing in the NBA Finals and hobbling on one leg and scoring 29 against the Lakers, everybody think they're going to do that, and they not. You know what I'm saying? And they not. And so the other thing is time. It seems like Luka Doncic hurt his ankle last year. It seemed like he's still limping. Take your time.
Yeah, well, Jalen, that is really good advice. And I'm sure it's based on your experience and science. But let me give you the real advice from a rec league pickup basketball point of view. No trainers, no weights, no exercises. Just lace your shoes tighter. That's what you do when you twist your ankle. You lace them up a little tighter and you keep playing. Because lacing them up a little tighter will always fix whatever ankle problems you have, no matter how small or how serious. And anyone that's ever played basketball knows that. I want to thank everybody for calling. And I want to tease some upcoming guests that we have coming on the TV show and the pod. Jalen Rose, who's coming through?
Tomorrow we have Skylar Diggins-Smith to talk about the WNBA's influence on the election, to talk NCAA tournament brackets, and anything else you want to kick it about. And on Thursday, my brother from another, Jawan Big Newt Howard, head coach of the University of Michigan, exclusively television and podcast, joining Jalen and Jacoby. Working on one more special guest on Friday. Stay tuned.
We'll be back tomorrow. Why is that, Jalen Rose?
We're not done. We're not done. We are not done.